Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
Support for TortureCast is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming champions of the world. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped just launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. You heard that right, the 4.0. I got some 4.0 for you. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer to you, 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code TortureCast at manscaped.com. Well, everybody, it's Monday, September 27th, 2021, and this is episode 240 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. We are coming to you live on Facebook this fine Monday evening. Joining me, hey, you missed a couple weeks, but you're back, original gangsta Willie Dills. How are you, man?
I'm good, dude. I'm excited to talk about the Giants. They are still hot. Still hot. Incredible.
And Eric Nathanson from Las Vegas. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I'm apologizing in advance if you hear my dog in the background. She apparently has taken this time to try to get to love on me because I haven't seen her all day. So sorry about that, folks, if you hear a little rumbling.
No worries. Well, everybody, the Giants have had a hell of a week. They went 5-1.
Don't we have to open with our Raiders segment first?
3-0, baby.
I just mentioned
the word. I like those Niners.
Huh? I got triggered. I know. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, we got to be careful not to talk about it.
We can't settle into the show. I mean, wasn't that the most ridiculous crap? Like, dude, I mean, every podcast. Right? Every podcast I watch or listen to has that where, you know, you settle in.
What, small talk?
Yeah.
Small talk.
Get right to the point.
Oh, my God.
Giants,
there's usually another hour.
Giants.
Hour and 15 minutes of content. Like, it's okay if you have to wait 3 minutes. Sorry about that.
That person wants us to open with, like, the current top statistics of every Giants player in order or something. Like, I'm like, what? You need your Giants talk just instantly. Oh, my God. Like, open a book or something. Go to sfgiants.com. You can find this information readily available. Go to a podcast because you like to listen to the people on it talk, right?
Yeah, maybe the word Raiders just triggers them. I don't know.
Maybe. That could be.
Yeah. That was bad. The sad thing is we're not even Raiders fans. We just mentioned it because he lives in Vegas. Well, but anyway.
I mean, I kind of am now because, you know, it's the hometown team. You just do, you know.
Go to the Roomba. My God. So the Raiders are hot. The Giants are even hotter, I think. 5-1 this week. Extended their lead to one game over the Dodgers to 2 now. With 6 games left to play. So their magic number now stands at 5. Their season record is a whopping 102. Holy crap, boys. And 54. Just one win away from matching their highest win total in San Francisco history. They've also won 15 of their last 19. They still can't seem to separate from the goddamn Dodgers, even though the Giants themselves are 45-22 in the second half. I mean, they're just having a historic season. But the Dodgers are right there with them. But what are you going to do?
We went 5-1, and we only gained a game.
Just a game. Yeah.
And what's funny, though, is we're sitting here frustrated as hell. Dodger fans are so frustrated, too.
Right? Oh, they're more frustrated. Yeah,
they're absolutely. Like, how can we be this good? And the Giants are somehow better. This makes no sense, you know, and they're losing their friggin' minds. They've been telling me all season that somehow the Giants are going to magically stop hitting home runs come September and October. Apparently that's been disproven. We're not going to stop hitting home runs. It's just everything about this has been glorious. This last week has been great.
I don't know. I haven't felt this good about a team in so long. What about you, Eric?
I mean, 5-1 on this road trip. You didn't expect them to sweep the Rockies again. Like I was all positive, right? I was all positive with the whole Colorado Chicago trip. This trip, I was not as positive. You know, you got to figure the Rockies are going to play a little better. And they didn't just beat them. They kind of whooped them, except for the last game.
They scored 6 runs the entire series.
Yeah, two in every single game.
Six in a game.
Yeah. It's just absolutely ridiculous. Giants won 11 of their last 12 road games, which is just kind of mind-blowing to think about. And it's only beaten by the Cardinals winning like their 11 last road games.
Well, it's 16 in a row right now. Right?
Yeah, so. Yeah, and 11 of those apparently were on the road. So, Jesus. You know, if it wasn't for them, the Giants would have the best finishing kick on the road. But, I mean, that's what's kept them afloat, and that's why Dodger fans would be frustrated, because you think that's when you gain ground, is when the Giants are out of their house, especially at Coors Field. I think going 6-0 at Coors Field in the month of September is just a tremendous feat. It really is. We always – I call it the House of Horrors every year, and it was not that this year at all.
Yeah. I mean, Willie, I know you missed last week, but we were talking about it, and both teams are going to win over 103, 104, maybe even 105 games. One of these teams is going to get the wild card, and they could even be knocked out by St. Louis in the wild card.
Well, they're going to play
how hot they are.
Yeah, the ridiculously hot Cardinals, whoever this team is. That sucks. Yeah.
Like, and that sucks, and whatever. But the one thing you can say about it, especially now, I mean, if the Giants win 106 games, like if they go 3-3 or 2-4 in their next six, right, and somehow they don't win the West and they get knocked out in the wild card game, what are you going to do? You can tip your cap to the Dodgers for winning 106 games, right? And what else could the Giants do? They took care of their business. They won 10 out of 19 against the Dodgers. They went 6-0 against the Rockies in Colorado in September. They went, you know, whatever, 45-22 in the second half. The Giants have done everything in their power. They beat the Dodgers. They've beaten everyone. They just – sometimes bad luck happens, and it's just – it is what it is. So that's why – I mean, I'm fully confident the Giants will have a winning week, and they'll close out the National League West, but, you know those people are going to jump on them if something goes wrong, you know? So
– I mean, yeah, Giants fans are going to be really, really bummed if it happens. I will not be bummed, because this season was never supposed to happen this way.
Exactly.
Like, you know, this is like – it's like if you go into a movie theater and then they give you extra popcorn but no butter, and you're like, this sucks. And you're like, it's free popcorn, bro. You didn't even have that a second ago, and now you're complaining about it? Like, we were not supposed to have postseason baseball. We're guaranteed at least one game of that. And it feels to me like this is a team that's built to go deep. I mean, dude, everything about this feels like – and you know, it's like I don't want to jinx anything, but everything about this just feels like one of those teams, right? And it's like how 2010 kind of felt. It just, things kind of felt different, and it was like, this could be the year. I mean, we had, you know, the what's his name? What's the guy's name who made the song? Ashcon.
Ashcon.
So we had the Ashcon song that came out right when the Giants like clinched the division, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like everybody rallied, it became like viral, and the whole like city had this feel. Even though I'm in Austin, I'm getting the feel. The other day I was at work, a guy was just standing in line at the brewery, had a Giants hat on. I was delivering food to a table. I walked by, we literally both just fist bumped each other on the way by. And it was just like it was just like one of those moments where it was like, yeah, see, even here, thousands of miles away, it's like we got the Giants fever is happening, man, and you can't. It's undeniable.
I have it here in my apartment complex. There is a neighbor. I don't know where he lives, but we pass each other in the courtyard. He was in the pool listening to the game the other day when I was walking the dog, and we couldn't help talking Giants. And you're right. The whole vibe is just absolutely like, oh, my God, this is so great. And it's so great that they stay ahead of the Dodgers a little bit. I mean, it's found money. It's total found money. I agree. But I will be disappointed if it ends quickly. I really will.
Disappointed is fair because of like how friggin' good this team has been.
Right. That's where it is.
Yeah. We all need to keep perspective, though, especially because, you know, now we're hearing some potentially bad news. And, you know, this is like the type of thing the Giants, like, you're like, oh, we can't afford that right now. Not right now.
Right.
But it's just, you know, it's like, you're going to tell me that Brandon Belt is going to have 30 home runs in half of a season, like at the beginning of the year? You're going to tell me that Brandon Crawford is going to be as hot as he's been all season? You're going to tell me Buster Posey is going to be a 300 hitter again? You're going to tell me all these things 150 games ago. And I'm going to tell you, that's crazy, man. Like, what the?
You lost what are you talking about?
Credentials, guys? With me. Yeah, like, I know what this team is going to do. It's going to be fine. It's going to be fun. And then we're not going to make it. But that. We're all friggin' wrong. We're all idiots, apparently. And baseball is not what we once thought it was.
Well, 99% of the baseball world was wrong, to be honest.
We got six games now to do it. And I'm locked in, man. I'm locked in for every single one of them.
Well, I am locked in, man.
You brought up Belt, and we don't know the extent of his injury just yet. We know that it is a fracture of the thumb, but we don't know if it's a what kind of a fracture. If it's, you know, just a little hairline fracture, if he shattered a bone of some kind, we're not really sure, and I don't think we'll know that till tomorrow. But he missed June 23rd to August 5th, and the Giants won 21-14 in that span, which is winning every 3 of 5 games. So you got to figure if they can keep up such a pace, you know, without Belt, we know that the bats are totally going to be there. I'm just worried about the infield defense. I mean, it's going to be up to Flores. It's going to be up to Ruff. It might be up to Bryant to man first base at this point.
Yeah. There's no doubt it's going to be a loss. And we, again, you point out, we don't know the extent of his injury, but I mean, with a fracture, you gotta figure minimum 3 weeks, right? I haven't heard anything that could potentially be less than that, like, you know, a 1 week absence. I mean, he fractured it. So if you're talking about a minimum of 3 weeks, that puts you into the NLC, the end of the NLCS, I think, kind of around that time frame, maybe middle of the NLCS. So yeah, it's missing minimum the wild card and or the NLDS and probably part of the NLCS. Now, if it's a standard 4 or 5 week kind of thing,
yeah,
crap.
Like basically
that's where it's playoffs. Yeah. Basically, yeah. He's done, yeah. And that's what's really hurt.
What about Ruff? What's going on with Ruff? I know he was on the IL, but
he's out with an oblique. He's eligible to come back for the San Diego series. So okay. I would assume if he's healthy, he'll be back.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those things. It's like obviously, like he's the hottest man on the planet right now. But the Giants have been doing this all season, where somebody's hot, they go down. Like Longoria was hot every time he went down, and somebody stepped in and just did the job, right? So
yeah.
I just kind of fully expect if Bell goes down, I mean, now he's just going to be our new Hunter Pence in the dugout, giving motivational speeches and and giving people like C high fives, you know, and that's going to be his new role. But hopefully it's not the case. Hopefully it's like, hopefully, like you said, maybe it's just like the tiniest little fracture, and he just goes like, "I'm going to play with this thing, man. Like, wrap it up and let's go." But
man, he could do like a Curt Schilling, blood come out of his batting glove or something.
I mean, it is. It's all about
4 home runs in the World Series with a fractured thumb, and it like explodes on his way around third base. In the
high dynamic slow motion.
That's what we got to wait on, though, is when he can grip a bat. That's really, what the extent of it is. I mean, and I said this to Chad before. I thought it's a good thing that it's his throwing hand instead of his glove hand, because it's a lot harder to squeeze a glove than it is to throw a baseball when you have a fracture down there, because hitting the meaty part of the hand underneath the thumb, so you got to figure it's somewhere in there, because that's totally where he got smacked. I mean, like you said, though, they have somebody step up every single time, and you know, we really shouldn't expect different. I don't see how that's going to change at all.
No, it's next man up mentality. That's how they built this team. No, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 superstars. It's a bunch of above average players. Some career veterans are having amazing years because they're having a resurgence based on mechanics, adopting the hitting strategy that the new coaches have implemented, and they've accepted it. Just a whole team effort. And so, yeah, I mean, it's not like, you know, the Yankees have a ton of superstars, so it's not like if they lost Stanton, they'd be screwed either. But they would be screwed more losing Stanton than the Giants are losing Belt. That's my point. So
well, yeah,
they have a lot of wealth to spread.
Yeah, the Dodgers, when they lost Bauer, I think it really hit them hard, right? And the Giants have been losing people all season long, and it hasn't really had that impact. And I think the Dodgers, you know, it's like, yeah, Kershaw and Bauer basically don't pitch for most of the year. And that was devastating for them. Obviously, they just go out and get Scherzer because whatever, they're the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But Giants, like, yeah, it does seem like a very impactful injury hasn't had the impact that it does on another team. And I think that's, you know, that's like, yeah, we maybe, you know, obviously Isaac Farhan, obviously, but we learned a lot from the Barry Bonds years, where it's like you could have the best player on the face of the planet, and in baseball, you just walk that guy. And so you can't build your team that way. And now, like, Yastrzemski is our 8th hitter. Right? He was our best hitter.
So weird.
2 years ago. He's the 8th guy now. And that's the way this line, and then the lineup, and he's producing in the 8th spot. Right? And it's incredible. I also want to point out real quick, you brought up the kind of the mentality at the plate that the Giants have adopted. And I think the one guy that doesn't have it yet is Chris Bryant. Right, he's like guy who hasn't adopted this mentality yet, because it's like they probably were like, "Hey, this is what we've been doing all year. You came in here halfway through. We're not going to try to change a bunch of stuff about your approach.
Right.
All of a sudden, we're just going to let you be Chris Bryant." And it's just funny, like, to see the different, how different it is when he's having an at bat. And obviously he's fine. He's doing fine. He's not tearing it up like he was when he first got here, but he's still, it's like, I turn it on. I'm like, oh, he had a double. Oh, cool. You know, and then I see him have a horrible strikeout. I'm like, that looked awful, man.
He waves at those sliders so much, which is exactly what you're talking about. It's like the rest of the team doesn't seem to wave at those pitches as much.
Yep. If that's not the pitch they were looking for, they're not swinging at it. And he's chasing that low and away over and over and over again. And you could just tell this is the mentality. To have somebody that good be interjected in this lineup, it really drives home like what's so different about what this Giants team does. They are so patient. And they're looking for pitches 0-2. They're still looking for a pitch.
Yep.
They're still looking for a location and a pitch. It's crazy.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be. He's a read and react kind of hitter, I think. Yeah, I think that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. C-ball, hit ball. That's how he
plays. Yeah, absolutely. Makes me unsure of the long-term connection that Bryant might have here. Well, but, you know, I mean, that's something – that's a bridge we'll cross when we get to, you
a
know
full
what I mean?
Off-season with these hitting coaches, and maybe he'll adopt this approach as well.
Right.
After seeing what it's done for other guys, you know.
Right. Both things are absolutely possible, especially with the Giants and their coaching staff. See, you know, him seeing so many players being receptive to the way they do things, you would think that would, you know,
mm-hmm. Now we just have to give him enough money that he wants to give it a shot.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Yeah, we don't want the honeymoon to be over too quickly here. So, before we get into the game breakdowns or the series breakdowns, we just mentioned St. Louis. Now, clearly, they haven't mathematically clinched yet, but what the hell? They came out of nowhere. They were sitting at 71-69, gentlemen, two games above 500. And now they've won 16 in a row, and they got whatever a 6-game lead in the wild card with 6 to play. So basically, they've clinched the wild card. What happened? I haven't even seen like a breakdown. Like what is going on with them? I don't even understand.
They didn't even really make any moves at the deadline, so I don't know. There's a Cardinals fan I work with, and he was pretty down on the team. He was basically like conceding the season.
Yeah,
and of course at the time the Padres were still supposed to be a really good team, and it was supposed to be all three wild cards are going to come out of the West. That was the story everyone had been telling everybody else, and it made sense. And the Cardinals essentially stood pat. They didn't really do much, and then all of a sudden, yeah, they come roaring back. Now I think their magic number is 1.
Yep.
To clinch the second playoff spot, so or the second wild card spot, and yeah, Padres mathematically eliminated at 500 for the season. Like that, I mean, baseball's crazy. Baseball's crazy.
It's you like
about 16 in a row. You have to sweep every team you play for like 5 series or whatever.
It's poetic justice for the Padres too, because they were the paper champions in the offseason.
Yeah,
they
everybody
talked about
was
it like they them. Yeah, they talked about it like they were in, like they had already booked their, you know, their tickets to the World Series or something, and it's like, nah, you still got to play 162 baseball games.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because they showed that they could do something in a sprint 60 games, but when you have to stretch it out, you can't. But then it's fun. The Cardinals go on a dead sprint at the end of the season, and that's how they close the marathon. And the Cardinals are that team that when they get hot and rolling, I mean, it happens. We've seen it happen. One team gets hot and just steamrolls through October. The Giants have been that team before, so it's entirely possible. I'm scared to play that Cardinals team. I don't want anything to do with the wild card game. I want to see the Giants.
Oh, hell no.
I mean, forget the fact that I just want home field throughout the playoffs, because whoever wins this division is going to get it. I don't want anything to do with a one-game playoff with the Cardinals. We have no need to mix up all that heebie-jeebie mojo. There's no need for Cardinal devil magic. Like, let's just be cool. So I'm hoping the Giants can hold on, because the Cardinals are just crazy right now. Tyler O'Neill has hit like 11 home runs this month.
Yeah, no, I don't even know what to say about them, but you know they give the Dodgers a lot of problems in the postseason. Dodger fans definitely do not want to see St. Louis. The Giants have had decent success against the Cardinals after 1987, of course. You know, they had 2002, they had 2012. They've had multiple run-ins with the Cardinals, and they've handled them most of the time. But yeah, a hot team any team in one game. I mean, come on, let's be honest. I mean, the Giants had a losing season to the Cardinals this year. They were 2-4. They were 2-4 against the Pittsburgh Pirates. Like, you know, it is what it is, that you can lose against any team. But man, this Cardinals team is rolling. But the Padres, like you said, you know, got in the playoffs last year in the 60-game season. They would have been in the playoffs this year all the way up until a few weeks ago. When they've really, really tanked. They're 25-37 in the second half. Now they're back to 500. And on top of that, they have to end the season
in LA and in San Francisco, the two best teams in baseball. So yeah, they have a legitimate shot at finishing under 500 for the season. If they,
I mean, I go think it's far. I think it's highly, I mean, I think it's almost a lock that they will not be a 500 ball club.
It's crazy.
These Giants and Dodgers are clearly not stopping this, like, just haymaker after haymaker to each other. It's insane. Because every time we win, I go and I look and I'm like, oh, wait, they're tied. Maybe they'll lose. And then it's like, nope. They're gonna
Oh, my God, that Colorado series at the beginning of the week last week. Like, there's two games Colorado should have won to help us out. It was so frustrating. I was watching Dodger games constantly. Both the Dodgers and Giants are 9-7 against the Padres this season.
Yeah.
On my MLB app, I'm it's listed as favorite team Giants, followed teams Dodgers. It's like, I need to know what's happening with them every single day. Yeah. And every single day, it's like, I'm like fist pumping because the Giants won. And then I'm like, oh, because the Dodgers won too. It's this is unbelievable. I was actually looking up, by the way, what's going on in St. Louis. And I honestly can't figure it out outside of that one guy getting hot.
Yeah, that's it. That's all I know of too. That's why.
But like, they've been doing things like coming back in the ninth inning. They've been doing like kind of all the little things. And I think I need to start researching them because it seems very realistic that we're going to playing them, whether or not we're the wild card team, right? Because we're going to play the team. If we are the team in first, we're going to play whoever comes out of that game, right? So
I mean, it's interesting because obviously we want the Giants to win the West, and then they can line up their rotation, right? And I don't know, boys, like, what if, because our next podcast is going to be after the regular season's over, right? A week from today, we're going to know where the Giants stand, if they're going to be playing that one game or if they're in the NLDS. Now, obviously, if you're fighting for the West, so you're going to line up your rotation to not necessarily be for that game 163 against the Dodgers and or the NL or the wild card playoff. But if the Giants slip a little bit and they're tied going in the last two games of the season against the Padres, I haven't looked too far ahead here in terms of the rotation. But are you, if you're Gabe Kapler, are you lining it up so that you make sure that like a Webb/Gausman/whomever, or just, bullpen, all hands on deck, is available for those last two games, knowing that if you burn them, they will not be available for a game 163 and or wild card game, but you're trying to win the West to avoid those two scenarios? Yeah. Or do you just stick with your whatever regular rotation as it would lay? And then if you have the 163 and or wild card game, you bust those guys out. I don't know. I mean, I think there's some interesting chess potentially coming up here this weekend for both teams.
I think the goal has to be go 4-2 over the last six. Force the Dodgers to go perfect 6-0, right?
Yeah, so you're right. If the Giants go 4-2, the worst case scenario is a game 163.
Yeah,
and that's exactly. Only if the Dodgers go 6-0.
And the Dodgers would have to go 6-0.
Yeah, every Dodgers loss is going to feel like a stake to the heart for them, regardless of what the Giants do this week, like on that specific day. Webb's pitching tomorrow, so it would seem that he would line up for Sunday game 162 if need be. Yeah. Gausman went yesterday, so he's going to line up for the Saturday start or possibly Friday if they want to move him up, which is entirely possible because so far right now they've got it listed as Webb and then Wood and then TBD against Bumgarner in the third game. So we're going to see Madison Bumgarner in game three of this series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Who apparently has been throwing decently well again.
Yeah. He's doing better now.
Yeah. But so. TBD just means what, like Leon and then everybody else? Like, that's what TBD means at this point.
It could be. They could move people up a day, though. It all depends on. Also, Cueto is eligible.
I was going to say.
And I mean, if they want to, I think, personally, I think Cueto's done for the year. But if they decide they want to try to give him one start, they could probably throw him out there for the Thursday game against Arizona.
Yeah.
So you think we essentially go into the playoffs with kind of like a 3.5-man rotation? Like, Wood is back, but he's not really, I don't know. He doesn't look like strong to me. He's like a 4-inning guy right now.
Yeah, it's because he hasn't built it up, but he's had a really good second half. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know that he's had a strong second half compared to the first half. Mm-hmm. I think his ERA is in the low twos or something like that.
Yeah, no, his second half is definitely much stronger. And even coming off COVID, he's had two short starts, but they've been good quality start. Not technically quality starts, but they've been quality. So it's been good. Disco's been fairly decent. Obviously, Gausman, who's been had a horrible second half, showed some promise in first field in his last start. Obviously, Webb had one hiccup, but he's been obviously the second half stud.
So good.
Yeah. He's got to be their number one right now. Although, I mean, you don't know. I mean, if they go straight to the NLDS and they can reset the rotation, I'm assuming he goes Webb one and Gausman two, but hell if I know at this point.
Yeah, I think it's one, two, and then three is DeScafani, and then four is Wood plus maybe a lot of the bullpen in that game.
Yeah.
I remember listening to the Kaplan show, Gabe Kaplan show the other day, and he was talking about with Wood, basically the issue is not his pitches and what his stuff it looks like. It's just length. How long can we actually keep him out there for before his body starts to get tired? But it's so nice to have a manager now who's like looking at things from that perspective. I know he got Kaplan got a lot of criticism for bullpen management early on in the season, but I think we all have to like just we gotta give him his props now. Like clearly whatever learning curve he had, he's gone through it and he's figured it out. And he knows when to use guys and how to use guys. And I think a lot of it is based on how do they feel and how do the lineups match up after this much information. But it's like, it's been magical watching what he's done with the bullpen ever since a couple of early hiccups. It's crazy. So it's like, I feel when we have a bullpen game, I feel fully confident that we're going to go out there and essentially with like seven or eight guys, we're going to get, you know, a full game of one or two runs or less. Like it's just, it feels that way now every time. So. Yeah. I'm not even tripping anymore. I was telling Ty the other day, I was like, it's crazy. We don't even have a real rotation. We're the best team in baseball. And then every fourth day, it's just, okay, now it's all nine guys today. Everybody.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tampa Bay's been doing it, and the Dodgers before Kershaw and stuff were back. I mean, they'd been doing it too. So it's definitely not an abnormal thing in, you know, this day and age baseball.
No. So. I was watching the there's a documentary on – you can watch it on YouTube for free. It's called Fastball. Have you guys watched this? I definitely recommend go check it out. It's basically about kind of the evolution of the fastball and you know, just and like they break it down really scientifically. Also, they break down how speed of fastballs have been measured over time. And so technically, even though the highest recorded number is the 105.1 by Chapman, they think that the actual fastest fastball in history was Nolan Ryan. Because they measured that one 10 feet from home plate instead of 50 feet from home plate, which is what they do now. So when adjusted for like how much it actually would have slowed down by that point, they think that it's like a 106 or 7 mile per hour pitch or something like that. Anyway, it's incredible. But then there's a bunch of stuff about Nolan Ryan and throwing like 240 pitches in games and stuff.
Yeah.
And it's just crazy to like, and then he pitched for 27 years and you're like, and then nowadays it's like, no, you pitch one inning. And then we shut you down for a day. And then you pitch one inning. And then we shut you down for it. It's just, it's nuts. But how they've embraced this modern version of baseball is really why we're here.
Yeah. So we were talking about Brandon Belt and possible replacements. Obviously, this guy cannot, well, he hasn't at least been used to hit against a lot of lefties, but he certainly can play and was playing first base a lot earlier in the year. But looking back in the San Diego series, in which they took two out of three, game one, I'm going to go ahead and fast forward here to. I had some problems last week, so I'm going to keep it in this minimized format. But we had a 5-5 game in the top of the ninth with one out, and Lamont Wade Jr., who's been, of course, got the nickname Late Night Lamont, stepped up to the plate and did what he does.
And a jam shot and a base hit. Belt is coming home. Do they have a play? They got him.
No,
he dropped it. Belt is going to score.
Broadcaster ball
again in the ninth.
Yep.
Lamont Wade Jr. What a
that's one of those things, though. You know, they're doing it remotely, so they're just looking at the game, kind of like we are. So, but yeah, Lamont Wade Jr. Man, this dude, obviously, you know, the big jack over his mom in San Francisco. You have the one in Oakland. He's now 15 for 24, hitting .625 after the eighth inning this season, on pace to be the second best such batting average in the last 40 years with a minimum of 20 at-bats. That's crazy, guys. I mean, if he can keep this up in the postseason, that's going to be magical for, you know, if he keeps it up.
Joe Creedy, really? That shocked me.
Yeah, that was kind of weird.
That totally shocked me. Like, and it's not even 05 when the White Sox won at all. It's 02. Yeah. That's so weird. Lamont, you're right. I didn't even consider Lamont when we were talking about replacements for Belt at first base. You know, I kind of prefer Lamont in the outfield. I don't think he's necessarily a great fielder in either location. But you're right. When they're facing a right-handed pitcher, Lamont's probably going to end up at first, and I think that'll open up a slot for Duggar possibly in the outfield or something like that. So that's not bad. He's just so clutch. I love how that ball eked over the glove of the fielder. That was just so great. And then Belt with his flippers, getting it around, because that was one of those games where you really felt like the Giants could let it get away at any point. And the fact that they were able to hang on and then get the winning run and then hold on in the end, I mean, it was another Giants win. You know, it was a very atypical Giants win in that way. Well, okay, the other team's being a pass, but still coming through in the ninth inning. It's what they do at this point. It's really kind of ridiculous.
I really hope that come 2035, we're not looking at this season when somebody else is really hot and going, Lamont Wade, who the hell is that? Why? Yeah. Like, we're looking at Joe Creedy in 2000.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully he's like on the Giants Wall of Fame on the outside of the park.
I think this is one of those like confidence building early seasons.
I hope so.
You know, that doesn't always pan out that way, but he does feel like, he feels special, right? He feels like a guy who's just got all the tools to just keep getting better and better, right? So,
again, another fleecing by Farhan, right?
Yeah.
Sean Anderson.
Yeah. I mean, who knew this kid's makeup would be so good, though? I mean, he's so cool under pressure.
Farhan did, apparently.
I guess so. You know, I mean, that's what I'm saying. I don't even know if Farhan could see that deep into it. That's what I love about it. I just love the way Lamont, you know, carries himself. I remember when we first saw the trade, we didn't know if it was Lamont, what it was.
Like, who is this kid?
Right. And now he's late night Lamont. And it's one of the few things. I'm not a big fan of Papa, but it's one of the few things that Greg Papa seemed to try to get going in the post game shows and totally stuck. Late night Lamont. It's like he's a lounge singer.
Yeah. I don't have the picture up here. Oh, wait. Is that it? No, that's not it. Never mind. There's this great shot. I don't know if it was AP or whatever, but it was Lamont getting one of those game-winning hits. I think it was that one, actually, that I just played. And it's this great frozen shot of him kind of following through with his base hit, and he's just got chew and spit coming out of his teeth. He's doing it on purpose. He's just like, yeah, I got that. You know, like, just the coolness of it. Like, it's gross, but at the same time, he's like spitting as he's following through on his game-winning base hit. It was like, who does that? Like, who does that?
Well,
he's
relaxed, like blowing a bubble. Guy who hit 196 in 2019 and then 231 in 2020. Yeah, that's who does that, apparently.
And now 18 bombs this year. I mean, just crazy.
I feel like he hasn't hit a homer in a while, but he probably has, because they all hit homers all the time.
He got one into the water not that long ago, right? That was last week.
But 18, probably. Yeah, it's just probably. It's amazing.
I'm just saying, it's just, you know, everybody hits them.
So, I think if we were signed, we might hit a couple, actually, just by, you know.
We just have to adjust to our mechanics at the plate. Yeah. You just have to work
with even with two strikes, look for the fastball.
No, Will, you got to look for your pitch. That's what it is.
Look for your pitch and your location. That's what it is. Exactly. Unload.
No matter what, swing as hard as you can, even with two strikes. So, game two, they Kazmir started, and it was kind of like, okay, we'll see what happens here. But like you said, Willie, before when bullpen games were coming, I'd get real nervous. When they had spot starts like with Kazmir or Randos, I'd get a little nervous. But then Kazmir starting, I was like, okay, they'll probably win. You know?
Yeah,
and
that's how I felt. Yeah.
Everything goes out there.
Up 8-1 like instantly. Well, I was like, oh, here we go. Well, I knew it. I knew we were gonna win.
And he only gave it one run over four. They go up 8-1. He got a little scared at the end. They ended up closing it out 8-6. It was a little too close for comfort, but it was a very strange game in which they scored 8 runs and did not hit a single home run that game. Wow. So apparently they were broken, but that just means they got more base hits.
You know, well, I was told that the Giants can't score without home runs, though. So,
well, they've scored like 55% of the runs via the home run. So
sure, but that's only half.
That. That's true. It's a little over half. It's not.
I mean, another half were scored without them. So you know.
few runs thrown in or whatever. Game three was the only game they lost of the week. And to be honest, it was a game they really could have won. Not that they should have won, but they could have won. So Logan Webb was just freaking wild in the first inning. He couldn't find the strike zone. I think he had three walks and a hit batsman.
So
fell behind 4-0 right away. And you're kind of like, there's eight innings left, so there's plenty of time. And that's what proved to be the case. They went up 5-4. And at that moment, the Dodgers were losing in Colorado, and things were kind of aligning. Like, oh my God, the Giants might be three games up. They might be three games up. And then right when those thoughts crossed all the Giants fans' minds, the baseball gods said, nah, we're gonna reverse that. And of course, the Padres went ahead almost simultaneously with two outs in the top of the ninth. The Dodgers got three consecutive hits. And tied up the game.
Yeah, there was nobody on base. It was two outs.
No one on base. And you're thinking, they got this unless someone hits a jack. Single. Okay, no problem. Single. Well, okay. Still only one more out. And another single. Yeah. And it was just like, you got to be kidding me. And then, you know, Muncy hits a two-run home run in the 10th, and the Dodgers win it, and then back over to the Giants game. To their credit, the Giants did retie it in the 7th. They went to extras, and that's where they had an opportunity with runners on first and second. Nobody out. Brandon Belt was up with a 3-0 count. And you're thinking, ooh, this is going to be a big inning, maybe two, three runs here. And he goes 3-1, pops it up. Longo comes up, goes 3-0, 3-1, pops it up. And then the next guy got out. So San Diego scored, and this is where the Manfred rule comes to bite you in the ass when you're a visitor. Because if you fail to score as a visitor, then the home team has that knowledge. They can adjust the strategy accordingly. So the Giants walk a guy intentionally to set up the double play. The Padres go, well, we're just going to bunt him over. So they bunted him over. So now there you go. You got your runner on third with less than two outs. And because you only need one. As a visitor, you don't know if one's going to be good enough. Mm-hmm. So you can't – it's not a good play to bunt him over. So, but as a home team, it's kind of like the old NFL overtime rules. It's like once you know what the other team did, you can adjust your strategy accordingly. And that's one of the reasons I absolutely hate this rule. I mean, most people do, but this is where it's just the strategy comes and it's just like, ugh. But you know, the Padres pulled it out. The Dodgers pulled it out. And suddenly we thought what we were dreaming of, a 3-game lead, turned into a 1-game lead just like that.
Yeah. The Giants kind of blew it.
Are you guys ready for a shocker? I think I might like the rule now.
Oh God.
I know.
You don't like 16 inning games.
No, God. I don't like those, but it's grown on me over time.
Oh,
just
man.
How exciting extra inning games are now, and I also get why the rule can suck too. Like obviously, like in that game, you know, it totally screwed everything for us. But I also like the Kapler approach to it, which is I'm gonna blow through all my guys in the 10th, 11th, 12th. The game's not going 13, 14, 15, right? And we've seen it now a few times. He's like, I'm on my last hitter and my last pitcher.
Well,
12th. And look, we're one of these teams is going to win this game. And
we had Kevin Gausman delivering a sack fly last week because they're out of hitters.
That's the guess what magic was that the Manfred rule brought us that moment. I'm sorry to say it to you guys, but it doesn't happen without it.
They scored that run without a hit. You know, it was all intentional walks and a sack fly.
It doesn't happen without it. Ridiculous. So it's like we could bitch and moan all we want, but it's brought some really incredible games, like the Angels game that we won. That we just went back and forth, both teams like scoring or not scoring their extra runner. And it's like we're kind of like the last sport to have not adopted any rule change in extra innings or extra time or whatever, that there is. Like pretty much every thing outside of what, like, even hockey has a shootout. If it goes like too long, they're like, all right, just go with the goal. One guy, one goalie.
Well, yeah, overtime's 4-on-4 too. It's modified in two ways. I mean,
every game modifies when you get into extra time. Baseball was the last game that just was like, nope, we just keep playing until somebody wins.
Only six more days of the Manfred rule.
Officially.
No, but I can't see that the players' union would want it. I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of players on your side.
On in a way, it protects relieving pitchers' ERAs. They don't get the earned run when that guy scores, right?
That's true. And, right. They get the L, but not the –
It protects players from having to play 16-inning games. You think the players don't – like want to go home? Like they want to go home when they're done.
Well, yeah, but like you don't want to look back on your season.
I think it might be here to stay.
Hmm. Yeah. And I, for one, hope it does not stay.
My old man get off my lawnness that I had about this rule early on is just kind of being weared away. Like it's just the more and more I watch of games, extra inning games with the rule, the more I'm like, that was really exciting. I have to admit to myself, I was like on the edge of my seat throughout the entire extra innings. And that's
did the league office send you something? Did they send you something like swag or something?
It's What's just going on watching these games for this season and the Giants, how they've used strategy and how they've been successful in them and the excitement that I felt during them. It's like when you watch an extra period in basketball, it's only 5 minutes, and it's like the first team that scores, it's like, well, game's over now. Like they just got a field goal. It's like that excitement level is, or like I hated the play-in thing that the NBA did, but I got to be honest, the two Warriors games I watched were incredibly exciting. So
yeah, no, it's
like,
true.
You know, it's like true. It sucks when we didn't actually get in, but you know, it was like I got two, and so it's like I'm looking at it, if I'm gonna be objective here, I have to admit that it's not all been negative, that there's been some extreme excitement that's come out of it. And as a fan of the sport, I think I have to give that its credit, right?
I think if everything was equal for both sides, I wouldn't be as averse to it. I know they play half the games on the road, and I know they play half the games at home. So statistically speaking, over 5 years, they're going to have just as many advantages as disadvantages in those situations. I understand that. But when it comes to, like, say, a playoff, well, no, I guess it's not in the playoffs, right? They don't do it in the playoffs, duh. So I think that's the way to do it, right?
If you just do it during the regular season, you don't do it during the playoffs. And
that's what hockey does.
Right?
Yeah. Hockey
is a shootout. You just
shootout, no 4-on-4. You play a full 20-minute period for overtime, it works. So I got to say, I could see a little bit in that. I can see
some of the players being behind it because they get out of there earlier. Yeah. They're not pitching as longer. They're, you know, all that stuff. I can totally
see. Not playing 18 innings and then getting on a plane and flying across the country.
Yeah. Like the Brandon Belt 18th inning home run was cool, right? But the 8 innings before it happened, where it was just like, ugh.
Yeah, but like, Miro Petit, then he wouldn't have become, you know, such a his six shutout innings, you know.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, it's the playoffs anyways, but you know, I do know what you mean. It does add that exciting aspect because it's almost got that anything can happen at any moment feeling to it. And I think as sports fans, we just kind of actually sometimes gravitate towards that feeling. So, you know, I kind of see it from that perspective.
There's a lot of stuff that they are testing to try to make games faster. And this is just one of the ones, and I think it's actually worked out fairly well. I don't know if you guys have seen the stats on what the shot clock has done in some of the minor league stuff, or the pitch clock, I guess you should say. But apparently it's like increased like offense because now the batters are just like locked in and ready to go, and the pitchers can't like ice them and stuff. There's like, so it's like actually like runs have been up and all sorts of like weird things you wouldn't think of are happening. And I think this is one of those things where it's like, I hated the rule when I first heard about it. And then I'm like, but the byproduct is I've watched a lot of really exciting baseball and like the extra innings when Giants are playing. So I'm like, I have to accept it that I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying watching it. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I never thought
they've shown how a lot of the Giants games, you know, on average are longer than other NL games because they take the most pitches. And they quite often have the most pitching changes too. So those are definitely, you know, extending the game there. I mean, God, these 9-inning games, they had a couple this week that were 3:45 and then one was 3:54.
The whole Padres series.
They were nine innings.
The whole Padres series was so long.
Yeah. You know, it just dragged on. Oh, by the way, in that last game, I did forget to mention there were homers by Yaz. It's 24, so his batting average isn't high, but 24 bombs. And then Slater hit the Giants' 17th pinch hit home run of the year, tying the major league record set by the 2016 Cardinals. So that's pretty. I mean, 17 pinch hit home runs. That's nothing to shake a stick at.
They're going
to
break it. They got a week. They're going to break it. This team, we'll see what they do.
Well, we pinch hit a lot, and a lot of our guys hit home runs. So it makes
right. The law averages at this point.
Well, at the top of the show, I mentioned that support for this show, support for Torchcast, is brought to you by Manscaped. And so I think we have a little something to talk about, Eric.
So should I just this what you read, support of TortureCast is brought to us by Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming, champions of the world. That's interesting. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped launched their fourth-generation trimmer, the Lawnmower 4.0. Join over 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with the exclusive offer, 20% off, and free worldwide shipping, because we know we have listeners everywhere. Just use TortureCast at checkout at manscaped.com. The discount code is TortureCast for 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with TortureCast at manscaped.com.
So we're going to be using the... Yeah, go ahead, Rick. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say. They sent us some stuff, so we are definitely going to go find out what Manscaped has to offer, and we'll let you know next week. We'll probably have a little discussion about it. I know Willie just got his package.
Yeah,
no pun intended, today. And
it looks really nice, so I'm guessing this is the 4.0 that I got in my hand. It looks nice. Got a bunch of extensions for it. Iggy really wants to check out what's going on with it.
Don't shave him.
That was awesome. No,
I will not be shaving Iggy. We also got some
he's getting amorous there.
Some ball deodorant. So deodorant for my balls. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm curious to try those things. I really am.
And some ball toner. So I'm gonna have the most toned, good smelling balls in the business.
Oh man. Your dog is going to love that.
Hey, all right. The ladies are going to love that.
This is still somewhat of a family show.
Well, yeah, no, it all looks really nice. It all feels like really, really good construction. So I'm excited to test all this stuff out, man. This is very cool. Happy to be. And I know a lot of podcasts have sworn by this product for a long time.
Yeah.
So now our chance to check it out for ourselves. And yeah, we're going to be talking about them for a while, hopefully.
Yeah. So we'll see how it works on all three of us next week. We'll let you know. But in the meantime, you can go ahead to manscaped.com, use TorchCast as a promo code, and get 20% off and free shipping. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Colorado series. I cannot believe that they went to Colorado and swept them again both times in a month. It's usually a house of horrors for the Giants and most teams. The Rockies had one of the better home records this year, but the Giants put a dent into that in this month. Insane. Now, all three scores were almost identical, 7-2, 7-2, and 6-2. Game one, Giants hit a quad of home runs, LaStella's 7th, Crawford's 22nd, Belt's 27th, and Yaz's 25th. Just crazy. What are these numbers I'm reading off? I mean, I know this isn't the Blue Jays, but that's insane. I mean, the Giants don't hit these. I mean, it's been like since Bonds and Burks and Kent and Aurelia that we've seen some of these numbers.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about, okay, so we're second in baseball in home runs. Nobody has over 30, but just so many guys have 20 or almost 20, you know? And guys like names that you wouldn't expect. I mean, we're talking, you know, bench guys, guys who like just come in and platoon with people are hitting 20 for a season, you know, and like extend Belt's at bats to a full year. And he's crushing everybody. Right.
Yeah, so, he's hitting like 40 home runs at that point or something like that.
Yeah. Maybe more than that. I mean, he's got like 300 less at bats or whatever it is than some of these other guys. Like he's barely played this year. So it's just nuts watching them do this. And of course, everybody always thought that the stadium was not a home run stadium. Clearly that's changed. Things are different now, but it's like, you just see it over and over again with this team, like the games like this, 4+ home runs throughout the line. And it's up and down the lineup. It's not just like the 3, 4, 5 guys. It's right. Listella's our leadoff guy. He's hitting home runs from the leadoff spot. It's crazy.
I believe that was their 17th game with 4 home runs, which is also a franchise record at this point.
Has to be, right? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going on that assumption. I'm pretty sure that's what I heard on the broadcast that day. But I mean, with this team, it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, for sure. So game two was the same score, 7-2. Belt hit home runs 28 and 29, and he was so close to 30 before he decided to bunt and get his hand broke. But the Giants also broke their own franchise home run record with 236. Now, of course, it stands at 237, breaking the 2001 record set with the Bonds crew. So yeah, for context, I looked at the team with the lowest number of home runs this year, and it's Pittsburgh with 121. So almost half of what the Giants have hit.
The 2012 Giants hit 103 home runs.
Yeah. And they won the World Series.
Right. Just you know, if you want to see how different it is now from it was before, I mean, what a different team.
103
home runs, and they won the World Series.
They got 237, and they'll clip 240 for sure.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. Game three, Gausman finally came back for a good game. 6 innings, 3 hits, 1 run, 11 Ks. And this is in Colorado. So I personally didn't see when he was pitching, so I don't know what was working, if his split was working or not, but clearly, yeah, Eric's nodding his head. So,
He also said he found something with his grip where he adjusted a little bit, and the splitter was having a little sharper bite to it, and the guy seemed to be fishing for it more. I mean, again, how much is that a result of playing the Rockies? How much is it a result of finding it? But those Rockies hitters are pretty good hitters, so he seemed to find something. He looked really sharp. Every time I looked down, he was mowing through an inning. And that was his best start in a while. And finally, the Giants had the first time in 5 days somebody lasts more than 4 innings in their start. Mm-hmm. Between Webb and Wood and other pitchers, they've been having a rough time. And Gausman, he really stepped up yesterday. You know, he may not be the ace as much as Webb's been lately, but he really showed some leadership doing what he did yesterday. It was an impressive outing from Gausman.
It was the time to do it, man, because we've definitely all been concerned that now that we know that we are going to be playing playoff baseball. And I think we were all kind of texting about it. It was a couple of his starts ago. And I was saying, you know, look, if he somehow comes back and does well in the postseason, then I'm all for this guy coming back to the team next year. But he really has to prove himself at this point. Like you can't just rest on an amazing first half, right? We're going to need to see that come through, you know, in these games down the stretch. And that was a huge one. And if it is an adjustment, then that makes me feel so much better, because that means it's not some sort of nagging injury, and adjustments need to be made. And maybe he just took too long to do it. I don't know. Maybe it was the baby thing, and his mind was not necessarily as focused on things that needed to happen. But we've been talking about it all second half. We're like, look, the league has adjusted you. You got to adjust back, buddy. You got to figure out what's going wrong here, and you got to change, because their approach has changed to him. They know that he's just dropping that ball in the dirt. And so they're just spitting on it now. And maybe if he's got that late life to it again, maybe that's what's going to get the swings and misses back. So 11 strikeouts,
he had that.
That's what's happening. Yeah.
He also, I mean, he had two really good starts in Colorado this month where he's from. I mean, that doesn't hurt either. You know, you got to hope that little extra adrenaline kick he might have had is also there in the postseason. I mean, you have to hope it's the postseason.
Yeah, it better be. It better be, bro. By the way, can we talk about the belt bunt? Because, like, why are you bunting? Like, okay, I'm not going to, like, blame the victim here because
I don't know. Maybe it has something to do with his outfit. So,
yeah. No, the pitch was way inside. But if he's not completely leaned over and squared up at the plate, he easily just backs off of it, right?
I'll tell you what I think he was thinking. It was a moment in the game where they had the lead runner on base, and he figured if he could sneak a base hit out there, they could play for a big inning.
Yeah.
Since it's Colorado. And I mean, granted, they got the big inning in the ninth, but he was playing for it there in the sixth. And I think that's where he got, and it's overthinking it because he was the hottest hitter on the team.
You just hit 3 home runs in the last 2 days. Right. A big inning is just you hitting a home run there.
Right. I honestly think he was trying to be unselfish. I don't agree with his approach, swing the frickin' bat. but you know, I think that's what he was thinking, and he overthought it and the team overthought it. And you know, it was just,
do you think that was so a sign from the dugout, or do you think that was him?
I think it was him.
I think he was playing by himself at that moment.
Yeah,
but maybe he was trying to be like, I'm the captain, you know? I'm gonna sacrifice for my ball club right here, and I'm gonna be the alpha male, and I'm gonna lay down a bunt in this situation up 2-1 against the Rockies. But it's like, again, it's Colorado. Let's say you get the one run in. Now it's a 3-1 lead. Is that really the lead you're looking for in Colorado anyway? Like,
No. No lead is safe in Colorado. That's the problem. Exactly. Yeah. So, considering how hot he has been, it was, I don't mind him using the bunt when he's slumping or if it's just, you know, late in the game, they need a run. They're playing the shift, obviously, and he gets a free base and he's an important runner. But yeah, in that situation, it just, it didn't seem like the right call. It just didn't. So I'm not going to blame him because it was you know, a pitch that ran in, and that could happen at any time. So,
yeah, no, I mean, obviously, like, look, it's a fluke that he gets hurt in the way he does there. I mean, that ball, the fact that it didn't just hit him in like the arm or the chest, or, you know, it had to actually hit him right in the friggin' hand, you know?
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. You can't, it's baseball, man. People get hit by baseball sometimes and it sucks, but it does. it was really frustrating, and the timing couldn't have been worse. Like, he's the hottest man in the world, and he's going through this like amazing thing of being the captain. Like, you got this picture pulled up on the screen right now. Him and all, these are all the rookies. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, here? It's all the rookies. Yeah.
Who else are you gonna get to dress up like your sailors?
Yeah, it's your rookie hazing. So for those of you who have not seen it or not watching the video feed, I put up a picture of Captain Belt and his seaman, as Evan Longoria put it. But yeah, all the rookies are dressed up in a little tiny, you know, crew neck, short sleeved tank top, sailor outfits, and of course he's standing there in a nautical captain's outfit with the white shirt, the white hat, and the white shorts. It's magnificent, and they're all saluting. So of course this is in honor of the taped C that was put on his chest. He's adopted that name, and everything was rolling around it, man. That's why it sucks that, you know, not only the motivation, the camaraderie, all this stuff was happening, but he was the hottest player on the planet, and then this happened. So, and if it's as bad as we think, if it's a standard fracture, I mean, he's probably out most, if not all, the playoffs. The season's over, and they need him, man. I mean, obviously they'll work without him. They have in the past, but the Giants would have a much better chance winning, I'd say, with him in the lineup. So it's an unfortunate loss, but.
Let's be real though. Brandon Belt could be ice cold come next week, right?
He's a very streaky player.
We've watched enough of his career. Yeah, that we've seen him get ungodly hot before, and then we've seen him a week later forget how to play baseball magically. So, you know, I don't know if that was going to happen again this time. It felt a little different. It felt like he was, you know, he clearly had something figured out. I mean, the swing that he has is so incredible that he generates that much power. He's hitting balls into like the third deck, you know, and he's not really following through. It's this short little, like, you know, round swing. And I have a short finish on my golf swing, so I understand, like, it's hard for me to stretch all the way around and do this. But guys who do tend to hit the ball farther than me.
Right.
So the fact that he doesn't really follow through all the way like that, and he still generates that much pop, is pretty incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, even when he does his bat drop, it's like, it's almost like, I hit my mic. It's almost like from his hip. Yeah, like barely through the ball. It's like you just hit the ball and he's dropping the bat already. So you're right about that. It's a short
swing. Yeah, and then like on the other end of the spectrum, like go back and watch a Barry Bonds swing and watch how far the bat just follows through on the back end. Like he comes all the way around. And
or like a Will Clark with one arm.
Yeah, Will Clark. Way, yeah, you know? Exactly. Doing the cape. Will Clark was dabbing before anybody knew what dabbing was.
Oh man.
Sorry about that, guys. Had a little insect incident.
Insect. Oh yeah. You gotta come to the rescue. Totally understand.
Absolutely.
Totally.
It was the biggest one I've seen since we moved here. So it was absolutely I totally understand and do not blame her one bit. It was an emergency. I'm pretty sure it crawled out of a vent and landed on her, which made it worse. Oh, so I know, right? I'm totally, she's got the heebie jeebies, man. I love my wife. She hates the bugs, and you know, I had to. Sorry about that. Man.
No worries at all. All right, so those are the six games of the week. I wanted to talk real briefly about Madison Bumgarner, who is scheduled to pitch, I guess, game three of the Arizona series here on Thursday. But he sent tickets to the Crawford family, because they do live down in Scottsdale, Arizona, to come to the game to root against the Dodgers specifically. And so they came, the boys were dressed up in Diamondbacks jerseys, the Crawfords were. Wow. And there's some video on Instagram. I couldn't find it right now to pull it up, but Jaylene, Brandon's wife, of course, put this all on social media and said thank you to Madison Bumgarner for these tickets. And of course, that was the night that the only game that the Diamondbacks won, but they did win by 7-2, and that pushed the lead to two games. So thank you, Madison Bumgarner. Your legend continues to grow. Even the Diamondbacks tweeted out that night, "You're welcome at San Francisco Giants." And so that ticked a lot of people off. That ticked a lot of people off.
The Dodgers subreddit has lost their friggin' minds over that one, by the way. They're like, right? Oh, now they're colluding? No wonder. This is crazy.
The Dodgers have won the division for 8 straight years. Every team in the division wants to see them lose the division this year. They don't care who wins it. They just want to see the Dodgers lose. They have the highest
payroll in baseball for every single year. Of course you're the villain. Can you not see that? Can you not see that if you're an LA fan? You're that
they don't. Deluded. Yankee fans don't see it either, man.
They believe they're entitled to this. Mm-hmm. Like, no, of course our team should spend the most money. We're LA, baby. Like,
yeah, the common thread with 4 members of the National League West – aside the Dodgers, is that we all hate the Dodgers. The Rockies, the Diamondbacks, the Padres, and Giants can all agree on that. You know, they do not want the Dodgers. They would rather win, of course, but if they could choose who not to win first, it would be the Dodgers. So that's there. Now, it would be great if that gratitude extended to a sweep this week, but obviously the players are not out there. Yeah, I know. Obviously, the Diamondback players are not out there to lay down for the Giants this week. That's not their job.
And the Diamondbacks only have, 50 wins on the year? So, look, get one of them against the Dodgers, and I guess that's all we can ever
expect. Yeah, yeah.
Now,
we only won out of three anyway.
Now, please lose 3 in a row to us, and then you can really, and then we'll really thank you, okay?
Pretty much.
The Diamondbacks are 52 games behind the Giants. I really wonder if this is one of the biggest disparities of a teams facing each other this, late in a season, 52 games, because that's huge. Close.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
That is about as large as it gets.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you're right, 50 wins on the season. They can't.
Yeah.
When you put it like that, I mean, they're further back than they have wins.
Yep.
They have less than half the wins the Giants do.
Yeah, they would have to more than double their own wins if the season somehow was like 250 games or whatever to catch up. Like, they're so far back, it's ridiculous. And then, this is what's nuts though about what this Giants team is doing, because then you look at the Padres, a 500 team, and we're 24 above a 500. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just, I mean, we're talking 102 wins. It's just the reason that doesn't feel like normally we'd be all celebrating. There'd been champagne on us already by now. We would have clinched this division a long time ago. But because miraculously this other team in the division is 100. The other day it was funny. I was having a conversation with somebody and they were trying to convince me that somehow the AL West was better than the NL West because they have 3 really good teams. And I was like, it doesn't work that way. When you have 2 teams with over 100 wins, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
This is unprecedented. This is literally we're watching one of the most historical seasons. This is really great, and the fact that our team's a part of it, I mean, it just makes it so much more fun. I mean, I can't imagine. You said it, Willie. This is we're playing with found money right now. Giants are 14-2 against Arizona. It'd be awesome if they could finish the season 17-2 against Arizona. That's might be a record.
It feels very doable to me right now. It doesn't feel like the Giants are ever going to lose again. I don't know if you guys watched what's the guy who does all the breakdowns? John Boy breakdown of Buster Posey's brain fart, where he tagged against the Dodgers, he tagged the wrong runner the second time,
right?
But in that video, he basically goes, "Look, the Giants are just going to win every game. Just bet on the Giants to win every single game. They will always win. The Giants always win. That's just how it works. The Giants win every game." And he cited some stat that I guess in games that we've been down in the 8th inning, we've won a quarter of those games. When we're down and when we're behind in the 8th inning, to win a quarter of those games is crazy.
What? Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah, like it doesn't mean that we walked off a quarter. It just means like within the 8th and 9th inning, we came back and won when we were down in the 8th inning 25% of the time. That's ridiculous.
Yeah. Wow. I can't even interpret that, but that's the kind of season they're having. So before we get back to a segment that we're bringing back that we used to have for many, many years, and we should have brought back earlier, obviously, at least by the All-Star break when things were heading this direction. What do you think? The Dodgers 6 games against the Padres in LA, and then the the Brewers, which that's an interesting series because the Brewers are a good team, but they've locked up, they've clinched and they've locked up the seed. Now they're, I didn't look at their forecast for the rotation. It's only three games. It's not four, whatever. But if Barnes and or Woodruff are scheduled to start, they're going to probably start anyway because they're going to be on their normal rotation going into the NLDS, which doesn't start for another 5 or 6 days after that. So just logic means you're not going to take the weekend off. You're going to pitch. But I will say they're not going to, you know, it's a 1-1 game going to the whatever. Them. No, yeah, they're not going to extend them. So they're going to tap their bullpen early, basically. You're like, oh, you hit 70 pitches, you're out. You know, it's a close game. Yeah, well, we don't need them. So I think that gives, you know, obviously a little bit of advantage to the Dodgers in that series just from a normal Brewers team from the middle of the year. But the Giants have the Padres and the Diamondbacks. So the Diamondbacks are certainly worse than the Brewers. So you got to give the slight edge to the Giants in terms of the schedule. But with a two-game lead and trying to avoid game 163, because that would just be brutal for both teams. To the loser of that then plays the very next day in the wild card. I mean, that's just – that's such a disadvantage. What do you think it's going to take with the two-game lead? I mean, obviously, mathematically, they go 5-1. Doesn't matter what the Dodgers do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think four wins is good enough? Because assuming the Dodgers will lose 1 out of 6? I mean, that's
– I mean, I talked about that earlier.
Crazy to think like – will the Dodgers lose 1 out of 6?
Will the Dodgers lose one game, please? I think the Dodgers will lose one game. I think they will. I don't think they sweep the Brewers. Now, right. Will they sweep the Padres? The Padres can, any given night, still just be Tatis and Machado and all the other freaking guys and just you know, do Dodger or Padres things. But here's what I will say. Our last three are against San Diego. It is destiny that we clinch everything against San Diego. Therefore, we will clinch this division against San Diego this year. It's going to happen. Sorry, Dodger fans. Sorry. Actually, I'm not sorry. But is just, we clinched playoffs against the Padres this year, and now we'll clinch the division.
Yeah, that weird September schedule helped.
The good news is that, you know, the Dodgers went 4-2 this past week. They could go 4-2 this week, and then the Giants
got to go 3-3.
They only need a 3-3.
Yeah. No, I actually think that's what I think the minimum is. I think they could go 3-3 this week. I think Dodgers go 4-2 at best. I really do. Yeah. I think the Padres are going to play the hell out of them. I think they're pissed off that they got eliminated. And like you said, Machado, Tatis, Stars, they can do things when they want to.
Yeah, obviously.
Is Darvish going to be pitching in that series, or is he not? Because I thought because he pitched against us, in like the second or first game of our series, right? So he should be lined up to pitch against them once.
I believe he's going to be pitching. I believe.
Yeah, he's pitching. It's Darvish, Bueller, and then to be determined, Scherzer, and then. To be determined, Gonsolin. So apparently we only know that Darvish is pitching tomorrow.
Yeah. All right, well, there you go. There's the one game.
So the summary is 3-3 could win it. 4-2 should win it. 5-1 guarantees to win it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how you could look at it, right?
Yeah, I want to avoid the one-game playoff. I don't want to play the Dodgers to see who wins the division.
It's
totally unnecessary. I mean, it won't be such a high stress level, but it will be a high stress level.
Neither team will be eliminated in that game.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's not like quite game 7. It's like game 6. Mm-hmm. You know. So it's got that kind of feel to it. But I'd rather just avoid that mess altogether and have the Giants clinch against the Padres, like you said, Willie.
Yeah, no, it'd be the worst. All right, so we're going to bring back the segment that Willie had in the show for many, many years. And, of course, it was very prevalent during the World Series runs. Why we will win it all. So we usually give sometimes very applicable reasons, sometimes very esoteric reasons. But, Willie, why don't you start us off?
Oh, man, pressure's on to give a good reason.
Right away, baby.
All right, well, here's why we will win it all. Because we saw the flashes of brilliance come back in Gausman. And this has really been the thing to me that's the Giants' biggest hurdle to overcome and somehow have continued to pass this test. How are we doing this with like a 3-man rotation? It's ridiculous. So you got one of your better pitchers, your best pitcher in the first half, struggling the entire second half. We're still winning his games. We're still, you know, it's not like his record is completely tanked, right? And, that's to me, that's like the one little piece of the puzzle That was the big question mark to me, is when you get to the playoffs, every team's going to have good rotations. Is our rotation going to be good too? And it really comes down to him. He's got to be the guy he was in the first half, and we saw it in his last outing. So Gausman is back. We'll start calling him Gas Man again. We'll start being stoked every time he goes out to pitch rather than nervous and sweaty.
Yeah, and, he felt automatic in the first half, didn't he?
Exactly.
Yeah. And, it was like Lincecum Day.
Exactly. And so if he gets back to being automatic, then Giants, I don't see who beats him. I don't see who beats him. Yeah. So that's why we win it all, because Gas Man is back, baby.
All right. What say you, Eric?
I say Brandon Belt. I say we win it all because Brandon Belt comes back and plays in the World Series and hits 600 and hits 5 home runs. Ooh. I think Brandon Belt is the reason we win it all, because he comes back and goes off.
He's an outlier. And stick with
that. That is wow. Okay.
I love it.
That's a good one. I like that off the wall thinking. It's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll be a little bit more normalized. It's basically been the mantra all year. Next man up.
Eric is the one who predicted the Giants were going to win what? 90?
No, he said 88.
Okay. He was the closest. His predictions.
Even he sucks. Even he's.
And with each game, it's farther and farther away, and it's still good.
More than a dozen.
Yep.
Yeah. I know. Isn't that crazy? I mean, when we told you, Eric, oh God, you're smoking crack. We didn't realize it was that you were too low. Yeah.
How could you not see this team winning 106?
Well, to be fair, that's why we didn't bring back Why Will We Win It All until this month. Yeah. Because, you know, you mentioned it, Chad, we could have done it around the All-Star break, but I think we were scared to jinx it a little bit. I think we just didn't want to play with the powers that be at all. So you know, I think bringing it back now.
Two out of the 3 years when we first started doing Why We Win It All, we did win it all. So
that's true.
Holy fair.
That is very true. I'm going to say they're going to win it all. More mundane. Again, hashtag is resilient this year. Next man up kind of thing. Brandon Belt went down, right? The guys go down and they just have interchangeable parts. Farhan and company have built this team for the long haul, but it also applies to the playoffs because they play matchups. They play shifts. They play, every pinch hit ability and every bullpen matchup. They basically take the best percentage at that time. They don't think about, well, if I use this guy now in 3 innings, I won't have this guy for this matchup. That might or might not happen. Mm-hmm. They go, we know this is happening now. We know what the percentages say. We're using him now. I don't care if it's the fifth inning. And it has paid dividends with 17 pinch hit home runs, a bullpen that leads the National League in ERA. You can go on and on and on about spreading the wealth, franchise home run record, and not a single person's hit over 30, right? It's crazy to me that this has all happened, but that's the wealth has been spread. The talent has been spread, and that shows up in just a very strong machine with, 26 parts that really work well together. So I think that's why they're going to win it all.
They're an attacking ball club. That's really what they do.
See, when Gabe Kapler plays a video game and he picks up a potion of speed, he uses it instantly. He doesn't hold on to it.
My bag has like 50 of them in there right now.
He doesn't have 100 health pots by the end.
Need this later.
You never know. Yeah,
he is not that guy.
I still might need 30 more health pots.
And it's been working.
Use them. Yeah.
You got to wonder if other teams are going to copy this, format. I mean, this whole line change offense, it works. That's why I say they're attacking. They're on the offensive. I mean, it sounds weird because they're on offense for a lot of the offensive, but we know this is a sport where you fail more than you succeed. And the Giants, when they see the opportunity, they don't care what inning it is. They're going to go for that opportunity. They're going to always seize the throw.
If they do win it all, every single team starts to copy this. This becomes a blueprint.
Yeah.
No,
I think so, man.
Baseball is so funny that way. It's so funny that way. Copycat league.
Well, look, this is like, look, we got the Manscaped 4.0 here. This is like Moneyball 4.0. We're like in the final stages now of Moneyball. This is like it's evolved over time. And you can take, not like the Giants have a tiny budget, but you can take half of what the Dodgers are spending and clearly be two games ahead of them with only 6 to play. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty freaking amazing.
Start doing it.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for episode 240 of the TorchCast. Don't forget our sponsor. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code TorchCast at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use the code TorchCast. Unlock your confidence and always use the right tools for the job with Manscaped. You can follow us collectively at TorchCast on Twitter, like us on Facebook, where we stream our podcast every week or so. We also have an audio version. You're probably listening to that right now. You can get that wherever you find your podcast. You can also find everything at TorchCast.com. You can follow us individually at ChadK21 for myself, at 2OutHits for Eric, that's with the number 2, and at Willie Dills for Willie. Willie, you got anything to pimp right now?
No, but if you are listening to this and you are a member of the Mediocre Golf Association, there are not many spots remaining for the World Championships in Las Vegas. I think there's less than 100 at this point. It'll be in the second weekend of November. So if it's something you've been thinking about doing, yeah, get to it, do it. MGAWC.com is where you can go find all the information for that. So check that out. I've been working too much to do any streaming, but it's kind of, it's been nice. I'm already now starting to freak out about how am I going to line up my work schedule with the playoff schedule, which is a good problem to be having right now.
A good problem. But, and especially you revealed that you don't have TVs at your
bar. Do not have TVs at my brewery.
I just assumed you had them there. You could watch the games. It's crazy. No.
But it's not that hard to just put my phone somewhere. And just kind of, you know, keep tabs that way. So that's, you know, it's fine. It is what it is. I'm probably going to request, if it gets to this point, I'm probably going to request an entire week off if World Series happens.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, with our media passes, the Giants do control the media passes for the wild card game. God forbid that happens. I hope not. And the NLDS. The Major League Baseball takes over for the championship and, of course, the World Series. There's no chance, obviously, getting press for those. There might be a slight chance for the DS if they make it there. I'm hoping, but I'm going to try to see if it happens. But prior to that, you know, mathematically, they could clinch in Game 3 against Arizona. That's not going to happen because the Dodgers would have to lose 2 out of 3 and the Giants would have to sweep.
Right? Yeah.
So most likely the Giants are going to clinch if they do. They would do it against the Padres. So I'm trying to line up my schedule, but I won't know until every game, you know, is kind of like mowing down, hopefully, that magic number. So I can kind of go, is it going to happen Friday night? Is it going to happen Saturday night? Or is it going to happen Sunday? And I'm going to try and nail that game. But I can't go to all three. So, but it would be great to be there.
Well, here's what you do. Because apparently your record this year hasn't been great.
Willie makes a really good point.
I've lost 3 out of the last 4.
You just don't do that, and you just watch
him and I just stay home. You know, you have a valid.
You're not striking out with 2 down in the ninth. Okay?
If you can go, you should go. Hell yeah.
I know. I've never seen a division or any kind of clinch, so that'd be kind of nice. But we'll see what happens there. You got anything to pimp, Eric?
Nothing personally right now. Just join Giants Chatter on Facebook if you like it. We are growing. We are growing at a fast pace right now. There's been a lot of we've probably had, I'd say, 100 new members in the last month at least. So it's really kind of exploded. Our game threads are fun when, you know, they're – especially this week with everything that's going on. And then it's a good podcast network. There's a lot of good buddies in that network. The Rizzo cast with Steven Rizzotto, where I did his YouTube with the Out of the Park Baseball. So you can check that out because I'm trying to get more views on that. And my buddy Doug over at the Say Hey podcast. So you can always find more Giants coverage, you know, and some other, you know, great Giants podcasts if you head on over to Giants Chatter on Facebook.
Awesome. All right. Well, thanks, fellas. That was a good episode 200 and popped up 240. We'll see you next week when we know where the hell the Giants are going for the playoffs in episode 241 next Monday. Until then, have a fantastic week. Take your anxiety meds. I know I will be this week. And we'll see you next Monday. A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TorchCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TorchCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TorchCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying, we'll see you next time.